Please turn our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 17. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 17. And the topic of our consideration today is a glorious gospel. And in fact, not just a glorious gospel, but the glorious gospel. Right? Because what we are going to consider is how glorious the true gospel is. We know that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is God's power to save. This is stated explicitly in the epistle written to the Roman Christians, where in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the Apostle Paul declares that he is not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for indeed it is God's power to save not just only the Jews, but also the Greek. It is God's power to save all men. And this gospel offer is open unto all. We also know from the Gospel of Matthew that before the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, he gave the disciples the Great Commission. And in the Great Commission, it is commanded that all of us should go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that is what the church is supposed to do. The church is supposed to be a place where the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ sounds out loud and clear. Sadly, it is also true that when God works, Satan also works. And as we read the Acts of the Apostles, as we read the epistles, we realize that very soon, Satan tries to corrupt the witness of the local churches. And one way in which Satan corrupts the witness of the local churches is to send in false teachers, false preachers, who will teach the false gospels. Now, we call them false gospels because all these messages which the preachers try to preach to the people, they all sound very similar to the true gospel. And yet, at different points in their doctrine, different points in their theology, inverted commas, you see that they deviate from the truth of the Holy Scriptures. And because of that, the gospel in which they present is really no gospel, but another gospel of a different kind. And these false gospels, they do not save. Paul was very concerned that Timothy do not allow any of these false gospels to enter into the church. And so therefore, we saw in the previous message on 1 Timothy that he commanded Timothy that he must make sure that there must be no other doctrine in the church. Some of these doctrines that you will find invading the church in those days includes, for example, the false gospel that is of the Judaizers, that is found in the Galatian church, the Galatian heresy, whereby you have teachers who enter into the church and say that if you are not circumcised, you cannot find salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the way of salvation is not purely by grace alone, through faith in Christ Jesus alone. You need to do the additional work of circumcision in order to find your way to heaven. Now, that is one heresy that was found in those days. Another heresy that is found in those days is the heresy of Gnosticism, where there are people who go about claiming that they have some secret knowledge. And some of these people who claim they have some secret knowledge also teach that the flesh of man is evil. And so therefore, because the flesh is evil, so the Lord Jesus Christ didn't come into this world as a man. He came to this world only as a spirit. He was a phantom that hung on the cross. the Lord Jesus Christ was not 100% man and 100% God. Now that is also a heresy, because it means that the Lord Jesus Christ could not have been our representative. He could not have been our second Adam, and therefore could not be our substitute, could not be our propitiation for our sins. Some teachings that came out from this also have implications in practical life. One thing that emerged out of Gnosticism is the false teaching of asceticism, which teaches that, oh, because flesh is evil, so therefore we need to mutilate our flesh in order to release the guilt that is in us, and thereby maybe we will find ourselves to go to heaven. The extreme, though, of this teaching is this, that there is another group of people who will teach that because only the flesh is evil, so therefore if we sin in our flesh, never mind. So long as I do not sin in my spirit, I will be saved. And therefore, in this world, we can afford to eat, drink, and be merry, and to commit all kinds of sins, to go against the law of God, and it is no problem, we will still enter into heaven. All this is the result of all the false teachings, all the false doctrines, all the false gospels that are found entering into the church. Timothy must guard the church from all these false gospels. Now, looking at what has happened in the first century church, it is now therefore no surprise to see that the church in our times is no better, but is in fact worse. You can go to churches today, and what you find is that you may not even find the gospel being preached. One of the most shocking things I found when I was a teacher, talking to students who profess to be Christians, was that they did not even know what is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I hope everyone down here knows exactly what is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 to 4. Or rather, 3 to 4. Let's quickly turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 to 4. And down here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 3 to 4, we see the gospel in a nutshell, the gospel in summary. And this is what the gospel is all about. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Yes, how Christ, because of our sins, he lived, and that he kept the Ten Commandments for us, and that he was nailed on the cross for our sins, shedding his precious blood, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, and that now he is ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And the gospel also tells us that whosoever believeth in him, or repenteth of his sin, and believeth in the Lord Jesus Christ sincerely from his heart, shall not perish, but shall find everlasting life. That is the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. But sadly, many of these students who claim to come from churches, they don't even know what is the gospel all about. They just know that, oh, Christ died. Christ died for what? They do not even know. Of all the students that I talked to, there was only one who can say very clearly what the gospel is all about. And he was a guy that was frequently bullied. Now he has grown up to be a very fine young man. He is attending Hope Presbyterian Church in the morning. He's down here. So every time I see him, I remember he was bullied. But every time he comes to me, he tells me he finds comfort in Christ Jesus. And truly his faith remains genuine. And now today he's down here worshipping. Strong man, very fervent for the Lord. That is a sad case, isn't it? And then you look at the Preacher Yahweh's report today of the state in China, not any better. We think that the gospel is spreading very quickly in China, but the truth remains that Christianity, right, the people who believe in Christ Jesus in China still remains a low percentage, And many of the people that are included in that number, which are labeled as Christians, many of them actually come from cults or are actually in churches which teach the false gospel, which teach heresy. God willing, perhaps later on, Preacher Yahweh will tell you the situation that is in China. Timothy is not to allow such a situation to happen in Ephesus. And so therefore, Timothy must make sure that as the young pastor of the church, he must preach the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way Paul sought to impress Timothy that he should abide by the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is to remind him how glorious this gospel is. You see, firstly, in verse 12, the words of the Apostle Paul saying, and he used himself as the example, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." In other words, what Paul is saying down here in verse 12 is this. The reason why the gospel is so glorious is firstly that without the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, no man would even be able to serve the Lord. It is because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that the person can be enabled, can be given the grace, can be given the privilege to serve Christ Jesus, to be his slave. In other words, why is that so? Because men, they are born in sin. They are conceived in sin. That is what is written in the Holy Scriptures. Men, every single man is a sinner. All have fallen short of the glory of God. All have transgressed the law of God. There is no one good. No, not one. Every man, everything that he does is stained by sin. They are totally depraved. Every man is totally depraved. They cannot help themselves to heaven. And if they are totally depraved, and everything that they do is stained by sin, and they cannot even help themselves to heaven, how then can they even contemplate to be servants of the Most High God? They cannot. And besides that, we are told in the Holy Scriptures that men who are unregenerate, they are in spiritual blindness. In other words, they cannot perceive spiritual things. Another description of spiritual blindness is being spiritually dead. Now, we know what a dead man is because we can very easily go to the cemetery and we go to the cemetery and then when we look at all the tombstones, you can do whatever you want to call out the people that are buried under the tombstones. There will be no reaction. They will still lie there in the grave. That is what it means to be dead. Spiritually dead, spiritually blind. Now, if you are spiritually dead and you're spiritually blind, and we know that God is a spirit, how then are we able to serve the Lord? No man can. No man can serve the Lord if they have not known the Lord Jesus Christ. But what happens when a man believes in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ sincerely from his heart? What happens when he is born again? What happens when he is regenerated and renewed? Once he is born again, once he finds salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, God will put the Holy Spirit into him. He will be indwelt by God, the Spirit. And this Holy Spirit will be the one who will grant the believer the grace to serve God. And because he is the believer now is washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he is cleansed from all his sins, And because he is now indwelt by the Holy Spirit, he is now able to serve God in an acceptable manner. He will now be enabled to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ will also grant the believer the spiritual gifts to serve him in whatever area of ministry God has called the believer to serve. The unbeliever, they will not have spiritual gifts. And because they do not have the spiritual gifts, so therefore they cannot serve the Lord Jesus Christ in an acceptable manner. But that is different for the believer. Every believer, according to the Holy Scriptures, will be granted at least one spiritual gift. And every believer will be called by the Lord to certain vocations. Some may be called to be a teacher, some may be called to be a businessman, some may be called to whatever areas in the world to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Some, of course, will be called into the full-time ministry. But whatever area of service you are called, the Lord will grant you the relevant spiritual gifts. The Lord will grant you the much-needed strength, the much-needed wisdom, the much-needed grace to serve Him. The same is true also for the Apostle Paul, isn't it? Before that, when he was a Pharisee, before that, when he was born again, he could not have possibly served God in a manner that is pleasing unto him. In fact, we know that he was a persecutor of the church. He may think that he is serving God. He may be very zealous about it. But what he was doing is actually in opposition to the Lord Jehovah. And so therefore, down here, the Apostle Paul thank Christ Jesus our Lord, because it is in Christ Jesus our Lord, right? Christ, meaning the anointed one, Jesus, meaning Savior, like Yeshua, Joshua, right? Our Lord, because in Him there is salvation and in Him there is this grace which enabled Him to be able to serve Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus was the one who counted Him faithful, putting Him into the ministry. Here, the word faithful could also be translated as trustworthy. Counted me trustworthy. Now, how can Paul be trustworthy? He can only be trustworthy because of the grace of Christ in his life, isn't it? God was the one who has given him the faith, right, the saving faith to believe in Him. God was also the one who enabled him in service, and so therefore, Paul was able to be trustworthy with regards to the ministry of the apostle which was committed unto him. Nevertheless, you realize down here that Paul was very humble. He did not say putting me into the apostleship, but he purposely used the word putting me into the ministry. The word ministry down here, where we get the word for deacon, diakonos, focus on humble, lowly service. I am just very happy to be privileged to be serving in this humble ministry, humble service which the Lord has given to me, of which I am undeserving. I am undeserving. If it's not because of the glorious gospel of the blessed God which first saved me and after which the Lord put it into my trust, right? That is in verse 11. If it's not because of this glorious gospel, I would have been nowhere. I would not have any hope in this world, much less to say to be even serving Him. And right now, how thankful I am that I can just be His unprofitable, His lowly servant, His lowly slave, serving in this particular area, preaching the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ to those who have not heard, not just to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. The glorious gospel. Why so glorious? Because it enabled Paul to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and the same also for us. Sometimes when we are in the service of the Lord, and when we serve the Lord for quite some time as Christians, we may depend upon a lot upon our own strength, and we may be even conceited in our service towards Him, especially when things are running smooth, when things are running successfully. That is where we need to remember, firstly, what a great privilege it is to be His servants, isn't it? And this privilege is only given because the Lord first brought the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ into your life. if it's not for the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, where would you be? Where would you be? You won't even be here. You won't even be in the worship service now serving Him. You won't even be, for example, a Sunday school teacher. You won't even, for example, be even serving the Lord by preparing the PA or by putting out the hymn books. Only because of the gospel, that's why you are here. He is the one who through the gospel has also enabled you into service. Never forget that. Because once we forget that, we may become conceited in our service, and in the end, we end up displeasing our Lord Jesus Christ. But not only just that, but another reason why the gospel is such a glorious gospel, such a marvelous, wonderful gospel, is because of the transforming power of the gospel. And the Apostle Paul was a most wonderful example of this transforming power. You look at verse 13. Who am I before that? Right, that was what Paul wanted to tell Timothy. You look at my life. You can see the reality of this true gospel, the transforming power of this true gospel compared to the false gospels which all these false preachers, false teachers are trying to bring to the church. The true gospel can transform the lives of people. Firstly, by redeeming sinners. And after that, you look at their life. Their life would be diametrically opposite of what they were before. I, the Apostle Paul, I was before a blasphemer. A blasphemer is somebody who says very injurious, very scandalous, very untrue words about someone. And in this particular case, the word blasphemer would refer to how the Apostle Paul, throughout his life, before he was born again, would proclaim scandalous words against the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not true? He went about, as you see the other word, persecuting, hurting Christians, he would proclaim Christianity to be a heresy, who would say, who is this Lord Jesus Christ? He is not the Messiah of the Scriptures. The Messiah has not come. All of you who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are heretics. You deserve death. You deserve to die. This person, he is of Beelzebub. He is of the devil. He is not the Messiah that is prophesied in Isaiah. He is not the Lamb of God. Any one of you who therefore talk about the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world, I will make sure that I will come and shut your mouth. That will be how the Apostle Paul was like when he was called Saul. When he was not born again, the Lord Jesus Christ, he would say, is not God. The Lord Jesus Christ is not Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is not the Master of the world. I do not want to submit to Him. I want to go against Him. And he sincerely thought that by doing that, he's doing God a service. He was a blasphemer with his words. And of course, we know that he was a persecutor from the book of Acts. And we saw during Reformation Sunday how the Apostle Paul went about the churches, and the way he sought out Christians, he did it not in a manner that is chaotic, but he did so with great organization. He knew how to flush out the Christians from their houses step by step, very methodically. A persecutor. And he literally killed them. He was literally an injurious man. Not just to injure them, but here refers to how he would commit violent actions against them in order to humiliate them. And in those days, how were Christians humiliated? Well, some would, of course, be thrown into prison. Others would be beaten up in the streets. Some, of course, would be killed. And the way they kill is not just by simple execution. Some of them, if they are not Roman citizens, they may find themselves crucified. others may find themselves to be made sports in the stadium, whereby they will be put in the center of the stadium, and then they may release fierce beasts like lions or wolves to tear them up. This will be the kind of injurious acts that are involved down here. The Apostle Paul, he was involved in all these things. And you would think that such a man who persecuted Christians would not find salvation at all in Christ Jesus, isn't it? And yet, how merciful Christ Jesus was. And therefore he says, yes, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Now please note that when Paul says here that I did it ignorantly in unbelief, he is not finding an excuse for himself. No, he's not finding an excuse. But what he's saying that this, despite my ignorance, despite my unbelief, my ignorance and unbelief is not outside the pale of the mercy of God. That by the mercy of God, I did not receive the just end, which just punishment which I deserve. And what is the just punishment which the Apostle Paul deserved? The Apostle Paul, of course, deserved none other than hellfire and then eternal condemnation in the lake of fire. That's what he deserved. And that is also what all of us deserve, isn't it? Because all of us are sinners before God. That is our end. That is what we deserve. That was what Paul deserved. And yet, despite all that he did, the Lord had mercy upon him. That on his way to the onto Damascus, there shone in the sky a bright light that is even brighter than the noonday sun. It is still something that even today I cannot fathom. How can a light be brighter than the noonday sun? No, you know how bright a light must be in order to be able to see when there are other lights around? It was so difficult, and yet this light is so bright in noon that it can shine in the that it can attract the person saw and cause him to fall onto the ground, and it could blind him. And not only just that, from that light, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to Saul, "Saul, Saul, why prickest thou against the thorns? Why kickest thou against the thorns? Why are you going against me all this while? You are only hurting yourself. Who are you? I am the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you are going against." The Lord Jesus Christ need not have done this. But the Lord Jesus Christ was so merciful to the Apostle Paul, to save him, to redeem him. This is mercy. And this is also not only mercy, but this is also grace. Right? Mercy talks about not receiving the just punishment that we deserve. Right? The punishment that we deserve. Now, grace talks about unmerited favor. And in this case, through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul received eternal life and salvation. And he has a place in heaven reserved for him. No longer is his place found in the lake of fire. That will be the place for anyone who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That will be their place. That will be the place where men will go if their sin is not addressed. If their sin is not cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's where they go. But here, the Apostle Paul, because he has received grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, he has received salvation so rich and so free. And so therefore, now he has received a place in heaven. Eternal life with God. No longer separated from God anymore. Which is something which he also does not deserve. Unmerited. And he did nothing to earn his salvation. Understand this. He did nothing to earn his salvation. Because salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ is by grace through faith. It is solely a gift of God. Even the saving faith that we have is given by God as a gift. As what Spurgeon used to say, if my garment of salvation requires one stitch, I am most condemned, I am most doomed. And that is something I hope we also understand down here about the gospel, about salvation. Salvation is wholly by grace, through faith in Christ Jesus alone. It's not because of any good works that we have done. And you look at the Apostle Paul, what kind of good works he have done. Now, even those things that we talk about, good works, everything that we do, they are stained by sin. And we know that man is spiritually blind. Everything that he does is anti-God. Please do not think that by any of the works that we have done in this world, we can find our way to heaven. No, we cannot. And please do not even think that simply because you are found in church, and simply because you are involved in the act of reading the Bible, simply because you are involved in the act of memorizing verses, yes, simply because you are involved even in the act of preaching the Bible, means necessarily you are born again. No, that is not the case. Because some people think that, oh, as long as I found myself doing these things as works, I will be in heaven. No, it is not. It's simply by God's grace, where by simple faith a person proclaims, I now believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I repent for my sins, and I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to cleanse me from my sin, and that he was buried, and that he died on the cross and was buried, and on the third day he rose again from the dead. I believe in this with my whole heart. Oh Lord, please save me. It is by this simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that a person will find salvation. Yes, simply by the grace of God. And that was exactly what the Apostle Paul experienced. And now, look at the Apostle Paul, what he was doing. He is now writing an epistle to young Pastor Timothy, exhorting him on what to do in order to strengthen the Church of Christ. You look at the life of the Apostle Paul. After he was born again, was he not transformed? No longer was he persecuting Christians. Now he was promoting Christianity. He was promoting the truth of the Holy Scriptures. He was promoting the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord used him to found many churches. The Lord used him to write the epistles. It is no wonder here in verse 14 that the Apostle Paul says, the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. Look at the superlative, exceeding, not just abundant, but exceedingly abundant. With faith, right, given him true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Also love, right, the love of Christ which was shed abroad by the Holy Ghost in his heart. Right, all these things are all in Christ Jesus. Oh, how amazing this grace is. Just like the song we sang just now. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Written by Newton, who was a slave trader. And so it is the case for the Apostle Paul. And so it is the case for all of us, isn't it? And therefore, the Apostle Paul says down here, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Yes, a faithful saying. In other words, this is a saying that will remain true throughout all generations. There is no one particular time in this world in which you will find this particular statement to be false. It is true, it is relevant, it is what the world needs today. It's something that the world ought to hear, ought to accept, ought to submit to. And that is the truth, that this one person, Christ Jesus, He indeed came into this world to save sinners, of whom Paul himself says, I am chief, I am the foremost, I am the first-rank sinner. And indeed he was. And if therefore the Lord can save somebody like the Apostle Paul, he can also save all of us, isn't it? And in fact, this must be the cry of anyone who wants to find salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation first begins when a person realizes that he is bankrupt of spirit. He really cannot help himself. He realizes what a great sinner he is before God. And therefore, he will mourn for his sins. And that is exactly what you find in the Beatitudes, isn't it? Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, right? Not poor, not just simply poor in monetary sense. That is not what it is saying, right? But poor in spirit, spiritually bankrupt. He knows that he cannot help himself. He needs a savior. Why? Because of his sin. He will mourn for his sin. And so therefore, he will come to Christ Jesus and embrace him. Oh Lord, please, I repent from my sin. Help me. Help me, oh Lord. Without such a humility, without such a submission in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. You contrast this saying by the Apostle Paul, who was previously a Pharisee, right? A Pharisee of all Pharisees, with the Pharisee that is found in Luke chapter 18. And in the Pharisee that is found in Luke chapter 18, you will see him praying, going to pray before God. And then he will point to the publican at the side, right? The publican is a tax collector in those days, well hated by the people because they considered them to be traitors of the Jews, because they will collect taxes for the Roman emperor, and they will often charge exorbitant fees. Now this Pharisee, he went to one side and then he prayed and then he thanked the Lord. Oh look, I am not like an extortioner, not like an adulterer, not like a sinner, like this publican beside me. He tried to justify himself before God. Did the Lord accept the Pharisee? No. But that very same publican, when he came before God, he prayed, Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner. Was that publican accepted? Yes, because he saw in himself, I am the chief of all sinners. And that's how we also must see in ourselves, isn't it? If we want to be saved, we must first acknowledge that we are the chief of sinners. Don't point your finger to this person, that person around you and say, he is the chief of sinners. Look at yourself first. I am the chief of sinners. And if we are honest, you'll find that we ourselves are in fact no better than the Apostle Paul, isn't it? I recall how last time before I was born again, this word blasphemous, injurious, I often applied to me. Now, although I was born into a family that seemingly professed in the Lord Jesus Christ, but I never truly believed in Christ myself, although I was sent to a church near my home. The church still stands today. It's somewhere in Bedok. Although now it's highly renovated, very different from last time. I used to attend that particular church, but I had no interest in hearing the Bible stories. No, I had only interest in watching the cartoon at home at that period of time, around 10 o'clock, 10:30 a.m. The cartoon, right, as all of you, most of you know, right down here, the cartoon is Care Bears. I love Care Bears. Although I forgot which color of the bear I like. A lot of people try to ask me, which color of the bear do you like? I forgot, sorry. I don't know. Now I don't watch Care Bears. But I love Care Bears very much. Don't ask me why. Something that the girls like to watch, right? But okay, this boy likes to watch. And I dreaded missing Care Bears. And so at the earliest opportunity, when I saw one of my Sunday school teachers gambling, I left the church. And the only time where I went to church, and my parents used to attend Life Church, I go there only on Christmas. I hated going to church. And so when I reached university, there was this girl that came knocking on the door. I was leaving the hostel, came knocking the door to do a survey for her project, trying to find out all the views of the various religious groups concerning the supernatural. And so, okay, I met with this particular lady outside on one of the benches outside the hall, and then she began to ask me all kinds of questions concerning the supernatural, and then I gave her my answers. And then I saw, as the more I answered, the more her eyes start to frown. She doesn't seem to believe in my answers. And then finally she opened her mouth and then she said, "Are you sure you are a Christian? How often do you attend church?" And then I lied. I said, "I attend church maybe once every 2 or 3 months. In fact, only attend church once a year on Christmas." And she said, "How can a Christian go to church only once every 2 or 3 months? Are you sure you are a Christian?" I think I must have given some answers that must be heretical. Otherwise, she wouldn't ask such things, because you know in the world there are so many false Christians, right? And then they give all these answers, and she don't find any of these answers strange, but she find my answer very strange. I do not know what kind of answers I have given. I must have spoken a lot of things that is contrary to the Holy Scriptures and corrupted the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then when my friend, later on, we have a group of friends that go, and then they go to a nearby area where there was a Christian group that was playing some songs. And then she says she's going to join the Christian group for Bible study and to sing all these songs of praise. I told her, "Why you go there? It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time to be there. You go there only waste your time, because it could be spent better studying. You go there, I will go somewhere else." And where did I go? I went to nearby Fengxing. Right, because I studied at NUS, so I went to nearby Fengxing. Fengxing, which was a place where there was a 24-hour prata store, used to be very nice. I do not know about now, but it used to be very nice. And I went there, and then I sat there, and then I ate banana prata. I loved banana prata last time, but now I don't like. Don't buy me banana prata anymore. But I loved banana prata last time I ate. And because of her, I was so angry with her, I not only ate one. Usually I would eat one banana prata, I ate two. I was so angry. I was really very angry. I purposely did it to spite my friend. But ironically, I did not go and study. I went to eat prata. That was the kind of heart that I have. Blasphemous. And so I really thank God that in the Lord Jesus Christ, I was saved. Just like how the Apostle Paul was led to Christ, I was also led to him, this time by a friend who was talking to me. And then whatever I said to her, she says, "Look, you cannot be a Christian, because a Christian would set his affections on things above, not on things on the earth." And on that particular day, I cried. I went to attend, I requested my dad to attend a service in Life PP Church. And on that very day, I still remember the message was preached, was a message on the Holy Spirit in Pentecost. But I was saved, rather through a hymn that was sung that day. And that hymn is the hymn that we're going to sing today, "Only One Life to Offer, Jesus My Lord and King." But I remember how I was, blasphemous. And that is something that we need to know, that we are the chief of all sinners. And yet, the Lord Jesus Christ came into our life to save us, to redeem us. And then his transforming power worked in us, just like the way it worked in the Apostle Paul. Look at what happened to the Apostle Paul. Look at his testimony, how different it was from what he was in the past. Look at the saints of old. For example, those that are saved during the period of Jongsong, look at their testimony. Once they believe in the gospel, they cast away their wine bottles, they cast away all their poker cards, all their gambling cards, all the paraphernalia that has to do with sorcery, with witchcraft. They cast them away. They don't want to have anything to do with these things. And then they burn them up. And then, in terms of their conduct, they are no longer discourteous, they are no longer ruffians, they no longer do the sinful things of the world. But they went about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Yes, indeed, that is the story. That is the transforming power of the gospel. This transforming power of the gospel was also seen in my uncle. I have one uncle who used to be a donkey. Now he has gone home to be with the Lord. He used to be a donkey. And then all those families, right, which profess to be believers in Christ, he was used to cast out of his home, and we will persecute them. Because he was a temper medium. Temper medium. And very steep in superstition, very steep in all the kinds of witchcraft and idolatry. But then later on in his life, because of the son-in-law who was a Christian but who later died of cancer, he himself believed when he contracted cancer. And then when he believed, what happened to him in his life? Well, he began to read the Bible. Now, Jong Sung, when he was in the hospital, I believe in 1 month he read the Bible 40 times. Now, my uncle did not read the Bible 40 times in 1 month, but he read the Bible 40 times in 1 year. I think for us, even, you know, some of us probably even don't dare to contemplate reading the Bible in 1 year, but he read the Bible 40 times in 1 year. So much so that the pastor of the Chinese congregation claims that he knows the Bible better than him. And then when there was the wake, you know, they placed the Bible there, and then when you look at the Chinese Bible that he had, everything was highlighted. He truly used his Bible very well. And he was a donkey. He used to persecute Christians. I remember him dearly because when I told my relatives that I was going to full-time ministry, everybody was shocked. Nobody dared to say anything, including my own parents, who found the decision very difficult to accept. But the one person who encouraged me was him. What a difference, isn't it? Indeed, this story that applies to the Apostle Paul also applies to all of us. And that's why you see in verse 16, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy. Why? That in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering. Right? Long-suffering, that means patience towards me for a pattern. And this word pattern is not the usual word for pattern, but a stronger term, meaning this is a prototype to them we should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. In other words, my life will be an example of what it means to believe in the gospel. Everybody can now see. And this will be the truth of the gospel that is applied to everyone who will come unto life everlasting. This is true for the Apostle Paul. This is also true to us. And now the Lord Jesus Christ see fit to use us as the pattern to go out into the world to tell others about the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the other reason why this gospel is so glorious is because it's open for the whole world, open for all men to believe, to the Jew and also to the Greek. This saying that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners is not just for some, it's not just for most, it's for all. And that through us, as a pattern of what it means to believe in the gospel, through us proclaiming the truth, through us by the Christ-likeness which others can see in us, by the transforming power of the gospel in our lives, that others may also come to know him. How wonderful, isn't it? How wonderful. No wonder at the end of verse 17, the Apostle Paul cannot help but to give an eulogy, to praise the Lord Jesus Christ, to praise God, the triune God in heaven. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, right? Immortal here means incorruptible, right? Cannot be corrupted. Unlike man who can be corrupted, the body can be corrupted and is already undergoing corruption. Not God. Invisible. The only wise God, right? No foolishness in him. He is all wise. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. In other words, the other reason why the gospel is so glorious is because it leads men to praise God himself. It is for the glory of God. Why shouldn't the Apostle Paul praise God for all the things that he has done for him. Why shouldn't we praise God if indeed we have received salvation so rich and so free, which is totally undeserved? Why shouldn't we praise God when through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are enabled for service and now we can be regarded as trustworthy in the ministry? Why shouldn't we praise God that now we should be used as the pattern of the gospel for all those who will come into life everlasting hereafter? Why shouldn't we praise Him? In fact, the more we meditate on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, how glorious it is, it should lead us into a greater fervency and zeal in our labor for Him. It should lead us into a greater love for our Savior. It should lead us to praise Him each and every day. We should not be complaining. We should be giving thanks to Him. We should be desiring every day of our life to praise His name. And we will look forward to every Lord's Day where we will come here to hear God's word and to sing praises unto Him because of the glorious gospel. Because of what He has done for me in my life. I am a chief sinner, yet He has saved me. Why then are we so slow and reluctant in our service to Him? Why then are we so unwilling to praise Him? Why then all the complaints? Why then the lack of praise? Could it be because we have not meditated on how glorious this gospel is? Could it be that we have taken this grace, this mercy that we have received through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for granted? We certainly hope not, because if we are like the Apostle Paul, who here now is recounting how glorious the gospel is for young Timothy, so that young Timothy may know how diametrically different this gospel is compared to the false gospel, that young Timothy may hang on to the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When recounting this true gospel to Timothy, the Apostle Paul cannot help but praise God. Now, that should also be true in our lives, isn't it? But then we have people who sometimes, when they hear, oh, this is going to be a gospel service. Oh, this is going to be a gospel Sunday. Oh, this is going to be a VBS. I don't want to be there because I hear the gospel many, many times. Now, when that is the case, then something is really wrong in our spiritual lives, because it ought not to be. The more we hear of the gospel, the more we want to tell the story, the more we love it, isn't it? And that should be the case. Today, we hope that as the word is being proclaimed down here, that those who have not believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, hearing how glorious, how wonderful this glorious gospel is, may indeed embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We want no other Savior, because He is the only Savior that can lead us to heaven. It is in Him that we can find grace and mercy. Why don't you come to Him for salvation? Why won't you repent of your sins and believe in Him and find eternal life? The story of the Apostle Paul can also be your story. In fact, it's not just a story, it is the truth. It really did happen. It is a historical fact. And for the rest of us, this account of the glorious gospel by the Apostle Paul should also light a flame in us to be sincere and prompt in our service towards Him, isn't it? How wonderful it is that the Son of God became the Son of Man, so that the sons of men may become the sons of God. How wonderful it is that we can experience this transforming power of the gospel in our lives. May this glorious gospel lead us to love the Lord Jesus Christ more and more, and to praise His holy name. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, oh, how wonderful it is that we have the Lord Jesus Christ to come into this world to save us from our sins. Oh, what amazing grace there is in Him. Oh, what a wonderful gospel we have in Thy Word. this good news in a bad news world. And so, Lord, we pray that indeed all of us here may find salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that by thy glorious gospel, you will lead us into a greater zeal and fervency for our Savior, to love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to praise thy holy name, to cling unto truth and not to let it go. So hear our humble cry as we commit all these things into thy loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.